You are listening to BensTorah.com.
This is going to be the third shiur in Hilchos Mukta, but the second shiur in Hilchos Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kes will finish the halachas this morning. The basic rule, which I should have articulated more clearly last time, is that typical mukta, in terms of klisham lachtul isur, like a hammer, is mukta, but of course you're allowed to use it Litzarach gufo, to open up a coconut, if that's a permitted use, for example, or if it's in your way, it's sitting on your chair and you want to sit there, you could move the hammer with your hands, no problem. Here, where we talk about mukta machmas chisaron kis, something that is valuable to you, something that you designated a certain place because of its value, something that is delicate, and therefore you don't want it to get damaged, there, it's a higher level of mukta because you're pushing it out of your mind even more than a hammer, for example, because you definitely don't want to use it. Even if you need to open up a coconut, you wouldn't use your scalpel. So therefore, you push it out of your brain even more, and it's going to be usur to move in all circumstances, even litzarech kamo, litzarech gufa.
I would say you push out of your brain. The other one you don't push, it just isn't in your brain to use it.
That's fine.
Right, it's like neutral.
That's fine. Let us look at the Shulchan Aruch inside, and I want to follow up on one point, but just to begin, open up the shiur with the shaila that I had this Friday, this Shabbos, in Hilchos Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis. So a lady comes home on Friday afternoon, Friday was Black Friday, with two coats. Why two coats? She only needs one coat. Because she wants to try them both on and
return one.
So now, let's look, we'll jump for a second. Before jumping, that's the shaila. The shaila is, the lady wants to know if she's allowed to try these coats on for her husband. She went to the store. She wants her husband to see the coats. Yeah. Her husband's at home. She's at the store. She brings home two coats. Now, could she try the coats on for her husband? Those were her words. I brought them home because I planned on trying them on Shabbos to see if her husband would like the coats. That was the shaila. So let's see what this would be based on, had a paskin in the shaila. And let's look in the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says, where it says Hagah, the second Hagah in the first source, Hagah v'hu adin kelim hamiyuchadim l'schora u'makpid aleihem. Kelim that you designate for merchandise and your makpid aleihem, which we began talking about last week. Let's say you have a tie store in your basement, or you sell robes in your basement, or you sell other merchandise in your basement. So it depends on who you are. If you're makpid on them, and you would never, nobody touches the ties, nobody touches the robes, they're merchandise, they're inventory, we don't touch them. Even if you want to use it on Shabbos, you would never go there. Then it would be mukta machmas chisaron kis, and even if you needed a tie today, also to use. If you're not makpid aleihem, then you would be able to. If sometimes when you need a tie, or your tie gets stained on Friday night, you squish some soup or chalent on it, you do go to your basement and take a tie, then it would be permitted to take a tie from your basement. Let's look at what the Magen Avraham says on Gimel. Umakpid aleihem, that's on top of the page. Umakpid aleihem, third line. Avalim eino makpid alav shari. If you're not makpid, you are willing to take those ties from your basement if you need it. It's permitted. Fine. Ayin simin reishon and tes de bechol davar. Now in the fourth line of the Magen Avraham, de bechol davar shedam av yikarim. Aser. Any matter that is an expensive, a delicate item, it's aser to use. V'davish eindom of yikarim, then it depends. Im nasana le'otzar, aser. What is the Magen Avraham saying? Magen Avraham is giving us a rule in Hilchos Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis. If you have something that in general is expensive, delicate, it's always going to be Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kis. If you have something that is not expensive, like a $20 tie, that's not expensive, but your makpid on it, then even that can become mukta machmas chisaron kis. In other words, it doesn't have to be very expensive to become mukta machmas chisaron kis. It just has to be the kind of thing that you deem as something that you want to, you put away, you put in a store case, you put in as a merchandise, and you designate it not for your own use. Now, with that in mind, let's look at, so what we have here is, if I could say like this, we have two models. We have one model of looking at something, at an item, how valuable is it, how delicate is it, and that will determine, oh, it's valuable, it's delicate, I keep it in a certain place, it's mukta machmas chisaron kis. And then we have a whole other category of something that's for schora, that's merchandise. And then the fact that it's for schora, I push it out of my mind. We don't use this stuff. It's for the business. And that will make it off limits and make it machmas chaser case, even if you're not so makpid on it. With that in mind, let's look at what Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, which will help us begin our Black Friday Shiloh source number 2. In the back of Rabbi Bodner's Hilchas Shabbos book, he quotes Shilas that he asked Rabbi Shlomo Zalman and he asked Rabbi Moshe. So he asked Rabbi Shlomo Zalman the following. She'ela, in source number 2. Misha kana chefetz michanus. You bought an item from a store. V'gomer b'dayetu l'achzir l'chanus. And you decided on Friday, I made the word on Friday, to return it to the store. Hayim dino shalosa chefetz kischora. Is that, does that have a din of schora? And therefore it's mutzum machmas kisar and kis or not. Tshuva says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, mistaber d'choshev komi l'schora. When you buy something that you want to return to the store, I don't think it really matters whether it's a very expensive item. I don't think it matters if it's a stereo or a new iPhone, or if it's even something cheaper than that, a belt. If it's something that's inexpensive, the fact that you want to return it makes, what are you doing in your mind? You don't want the kids to touch it, you don't want to get it dirty, because any little bit of residue or dirt or a tiny damage will make it, not going to be able to return it. So therefore, it's going to have a din, the second category, it's going to be like schora, and it's going to be off limits, even though it's not so valuable. Now, the shayla that I had, I think, was not this shayla. Why? Because I had, the lady had bought two coats. She decides, if she tries it on, and her husband says, I like this one, or she says, I like this one. And the second she decides to keep it, the other one, will be muktzah. But that first one will be...
Can't leave it.
She wants to keep it.
So let's
think about it. This is a good shayla. I don't have an answer. I'm hoping by the end of this year, this morning, I'm going to have a psak on it. So before she tries both on,
you don't know which one.
I don't know which one. One of them is going to be returned. One of them is going to be kept. How is she going to decide? By trying them on when?
On
Shabbos. What's the whole yisod of muktzah that we spoke about last week? The whole yisod of muktzah is that you're pushing this away. This is off limits for Shabbos. This is not for Shabbos use. That's a definition of the word muktzah. And what did she come home on Black Friday saying? I'm going to try it on Shabbos.
Why
don't
you try
it?
Why didn't you want? She had one coat to the same Shabbos. She had one coat. I'll try it on here. I'll keep it or I won't keep it. I'll try it on Shabbos. Why did you have two?
Okay, that would be a similar. Yeah, that would be pretty much the same. Here it's, I think, a little more more lenient, probably, because here she's definitely keeping one. But I hear
not much either of them.
That's what I'm wondering. I think again, I didn't speak to the postman about this child, but it seems because it was just asked on Friday night. But it seemed to me that if the whole yisod of muktzah is that you're pushing it out of your das to not have anything to do with this on Shabbos. If your intent is bedavka to try it on Shabbos,
right.
How could you say that that's muktzah?
Maybe she should be allowed to try it on.
And she wants to try both on Shabbos.
But
she
that's what her das was. Halachas of muktzah always sit in after we have your das. Your das says, I want this, I don't want this, I want to use this. It's going to come into my purview on Shabbos. And after that, we'll set in, okay, so is it muktzah or not, based on your das? If your das is to, let's talk about a famous, famous, famous case, which I don't want to talk about because it's a long arichas and there's so much ink spilled. The most famous case of muktzah machmas chaser kis is a mohel's knife. A mohel's knife. After the mohel finishes his mila, so does he have to drop the knife on the floor? Does he have to leave it in the shul? Oh, but maybe a little kid could cut himself. Maybe he doesn't want to, he's not going to want to do a bris mila if he's going to have to leave his $200 knife, in the front of a shul where there are 600 people there. So he's not going to want to do it. So, but wait a second. Why isn't the mohel's knife usher before the mila? So you could tell me, because you're allowed to be mechal al Shabbos, you could cause a chabura on Shabbos, suddenly you could touch muktzah on Shabbos. No, maybe you don't have to come on to that. Maybe the fact that he plans on using it on Shabbos makes it not muktzah until he finishes his mila, at which point he's not going to use it for anything else, at which point it becomes muktzah, perhaps. So if you have that lumdus, then when it comes to the jacket, your intent is to one of these coats, you're going to try it. You're going to try on both coats. One of these coats, you're going to, as you try it on Shabbos, until then it was mutter, because you wanted to use it on Shabbos. The second that you decided, oh, this I'm going to return, then indeed it will become muktzah machmas chisaron kis.
On Shabbos.
Could you say that? Is that what's happening by an Ismail, Shalmila?
It's Katsoi, and you come to Shabbos.
No, we're talking about it's Katsoi, we only apply, but I don't use the word Katsoi. I don't use that word, right. So this is the Shaila. I'm speaking it out with you. I'm speaking out the Stadim. If you had to push me against the wall, I would probably think that since the lady's das was before Shabbos, to yes try it on, how could you call that Mukta?
On both.
Once she decides on Shabbos that she's not going to use it, so then could it become Mukta Machas Chaser Kis on Shabbos? That's what we have to do some more research about the din of is that the lumdus of Ismail Shalmila that we have to check. Okay. So I think I don't remember the sugya of Yesh Breira and Ein Breira clearly enough, but I think by Darabanans we say Ein Breira. Is that correct? I know there's a chilul between Daraisas and Darabanans. Here we're talking about an Issa Darabanan, and therefore I think I don't remember. Okay. Fine. That's an interesting shaila that just happened this Friday in Hilchos Mukta Machlokes Chasaron Kis. It really does happen. Let's go to finish off this point.
You're comparing the knife to the skein. I'm just curious.
I'm not sure if I should. I don't know.
So you need the knife. The coat you don't need.
You need the knife until the mila. After the mila, you don't need the knife. So does it become mukta that moment?
She needs the coat to try it on.
But after she tries it on, no, the question is afterwards. That's the question. Does the knife become mukta after he does the mila? Why did he do the mila? Because the mila is docheh Shabbos, because it wasn't mukta, because he had to do it. And then afterwards, it becomes mukta. So if that's the same case, so it could become mukta machas, some case.
For the mail himself, it's a... It's a chasaron kis.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, he's ruggling it, you know.
No. He'll use it to cut his oranges if he doesn't have a knife.
He would.
No, he wouldn't.
He would.
Says the Aruch HaShulchan, there's one exception to the rule of schora. We saw the Magen Avraham said that schora is always going to be off limits, even if it is not expensive. A tie, if it's your inventory in your basement for your tie shop, then it's always going to be, it will be off limits. There's one exception to that. Look at the Aruch HaShulchan, talk about this halacha of schora, of inventory, of merchandise, in source number 3, Simon Shin Ches, that's our Simon, Siv Yud Aleph in the Aruch HaShulchan, bottom of the page. Komin schora shebechanus osrim asurim betilto. Velo mi bayis schora kezush en roi lelevich leshimash. Of course, things like electronics that's in your inventory you're not going to use, right? El afir roi letashmish, even if it's things that you can use, like a tie, a shirt, a sweater. Mistama kapte alayu, you're makpin on, if I have you mukz machm is chasaron kis v'asur. Aval, this is the one exception, bottom line. Aval uchlin umashkin shebechanus, if you have a grocery store and you have a bottle of grape juice, or a bottle of soda, or a can of, a can of tuna fish, and you want to take it out on Shabbos, mutter lito vilecho, deles lon mukza machmas otzar, v'uchlenu mashkin. The only exception, to the very severe mukza of called otzar, remember, mukza of otzar is super mukza, because why? It's mukza machmas chisaron kis, even if things that aren't expensive, right? That tie that you have as inventory, it's not expensive, it's only $20, and it's not super delicate, it's a tie. And you're still makpid, and it's also to move even mishum gufo and mekomo. So otzer is almost the paradigm of super duper, you put it out of your brains, nobody's ever going to touch this, don't any kid in my family touches that, they'll get their hands cut off if they touch my inventory on Shabbos. And yet we see Ochlin Umashkin doesn't go into that category. It's Shulchan Aruch actually, later in the Shulchan Aruch, talks about the fact that anything that's food is automatically, let's think about this. What's the lumdus? The lumdus of Mukta is that you max it from your das. A Jew never puts food out of his mind. That's our question. That's our question. Yeah. I don't know the answer. That's what we have to figure out. Yeah.
You have to store, and the store's closed Shabbos. Just think about the scenario. Correct. You have a store, and the store is locked on Shabbos. You own Chavayah seasons.
Correct.
And the food in season, all of a sudden something happens on Shabbos.
You could use
the
it.
The shul needs food.
100%, you could use it.
You can go to the store and
right.
make the food. And you were not Maxi Das from it.
It doesn't matter. A Jew is never Maxi Das for food.
And there you go. And that's okay. why we're all fat.
Okay, now I want to go into a new sugya. The new sugya that we're going to talk about is a word that was used by the Gemara, which I don't have the sheets here. We had it last week. The Gemara says that you designate a place. Let's think about those words. You keep it in a certain place. You have a something delicate, something special, something valuable. So you keep it in a certain place. I have a question. How much is the new iPhone 10?
$1,000.
Is an iPhone 10 Muktamachas Chisaron Kiss? So if you ask some people, they'll say it's Muktamachas Mias. Okay, but that's a sugi we'll get to later on in Shzimin Shinches. If something is disgusting, like a shmush tomato, a dead bug, a dead mouse, for example, that's actually halacha. It's mukta, a category called mukta machas mias. So there are some places that will say mukta machas. Okay, we're not going there. We all. I'm recording this shir on my iPhone. It's not a 10, don't worry. But,
Apple is an oichu.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about, it's $1,000. It just came out. I just got it. And I wouldn't let my kid play with it, but do I keep it in a certain place? Absolutely not.
You have to charge it.
I don't keep it in a certain place.
You use
place.
It. You use it.
Not on Shabbos. You use it on Shabbos. The rest of us don't use it on Shabbos.
The concept of
I don't think so. No. The point is that on Shabbos, since it's Muktzah, it starts off being Muktzah Tzuklim Shemach Talisus, you can't use it on Shabbos, and it's the kind of thing that you can, not only can't use on Shabbos, but you wouldn't want to use it for any other purpose. So that's our question. Would you use an $1,000 iPhone for a paperweight?
To break a nut, right?
I think it depends on who you are. I think most people would. Mine is not a 10, mine is a whatever, much cheaper, but I would use it to, you know, as a paperweight. I would use it to scratch my back. Huh. Scratch my neck, and I think therefore $1,000 iPhone is not going to be muktamach on chisaron kiss. Certainly, if you take the Gemara literally, that says the definition of machmas chisaron kiss is that you're miyachid l'humakom, you designated a place. There's no designated place right. for your phone. Wherever you are, you put it somewhere. Sometimes it's in your pocket. Sometimes it's on the table. Sometimes it's on your. You don't have a place where you keep it. But let us try to analyze this shaila a little bit more. What happens if you have a wallet full of cash? I don't want to talk about I don't want to talk about the other aspect of muktzah, which we'll talk about soon, which is muktzah machmas gufa, something that has no usage, no inherent use, like a twig, like a leaf, like a stone, like a dollar bill. A dollar bill is not a kli; it has no inherent use. When I studied economics, they told us that money is just
a. By the way, it's not true. When you take a dollar bill, put it to a machine, and get food out.
So I hear what you're saying. I don't think that's called a kli. That's called a medium. That it's a retainer of value.
So the kli is set up so that you put that in there, it now functions to open up the door and let the food out.
You're saying it's like a key. That's fascinating. I hear that. I hear that. When I studied economics in college, I think we learned that currency is a retainer of value. It doesn't have an intrinsic use. I can't scratch my head with it. I can't, you know, scratch your back with it. I can't shine my shoes with it. And I can't lift up my chicken to my mouth with it. But it just retains value. And that's called muktzah machmas gufo, which we're not going to talk about today. But let's look at it from a different perspective. Should it be muktzah machmas chisaron kiss? If I have a wallet filled with cash, should that be muktzah machmas chisaron kiss? Well, let's think about it. It's very valuable. I wouldn't use it for anything else.
It's credit cards.
It's delicate. But I don't have a set place to keep it.
Yes, you do.
I don't have a set. You say it's your pocket.
Never just leave a
okay, let's see. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if you have a Shulchan Aruch, no, we don't have
the
Shulchan Aruch.
So
let's look at the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shinyir, which is two simanim forward, we're not there yet. Says the Ramah, Hagah, says the Ramah in Shinyir, Siv Zayin, Asa l'taltal kis shal ma'os, afal pi shahotzi ha'ma'os mimena mi ba'od yom. Wow, oh, there's no money in it. I'm sorry. The wallet doesn't have any money in it. Ela im kain, Also, b'maisa, until unless you did something, we're not going to talk about that. Umihu litzarach gufa litzarach mekama mutter. You can move a litzarach gufa mekama. What is the Ramah telling us? If you have a wallet, again, even if there's no money in it, that's not important. You have a wallet, you're allowed to move a litzarach gufa mekama. What is the Ramah paskening here? He's saying that what's the status of this wallet? It's a kli shemalach to le'issa with the heter of gufa mekama. Comes this Magen Avram, Rabbi Osai, and says, Kain kasa beisyosu da'as harash, litzarach iyun. I don't understand how this could be mukter litzarach mekama litzarach gufa. Deha harash kasav, the Rush says that this case of a wallet is dami l'sichi v'ziru mezuri. It's similar to those cases of delicate instruments. The kevan dekapit alei miyachi l'humakom. That since they're delicate and you're careful with them, you specify a designated place for them to sit. V'im kenafi l'tzarech gufo mekomo aser. Ukesimin, that's us. Shin ches tzif aleph. Says the Magen Avram, if you have a wallet that's valuable, that's compared to those things that you keep in a certain place, it should be muktamach masku. It should be klisham lach. I'm sorry. It should be muktamach masku sarkis, and should not have the heter of gufa mekomo.
But we are talking about empty wallet. No value. It's empty wallet.
I guess
the
it
knife,
does.
You'll break the knife.
I guess it's delicate. Yeah. Apparently they took these things seriously. Wallets they took seriously.
Unless it's a very expensive wallet by itself. It's just a leather.
So what do we have? We have a Magen Avram who tells us that a wallet, because of its value, because you care about it, is going to be Muktzamach Matzvisaron Kis. Comes the Beis Meir, commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, on that same siman, and says, I don't understand. The whole reason why something is Muktzamach Matzvisaron Kis is why? Because you're Miyachid L'hu Makom, as I underlined it, you're Miyachid L'hu Makom, that shows that you're Machpin on it. But this wallet, you're not Miyachid L'hu Makom, right? It's like your iPhone, you move it, you put it all over the place. Yes, it's $1,000. It's valuable. But you're not miyachid l'hu makom. You don't designate a specified place to hold the wallet. The wallet is wherever you go, you put it down wherever you are. If you don't have my passports, everybody in this room has a place where they know their passports are kept. Everyone in this room knows exactly what cubby, what cabinet, what drawer behind which pair of underwear they keep their passports.
You put your money in there too? Oh my gosh.
No. So there's miyached lumakum, but if the Beis Meir, a wallet, that's not the case. There shouldn't be muktzamach masvisaron kis. Stop here. Hold on. What do you see from this Beis Meir? The Beis Meir is telling us that the only time anything could ever become muktzamach masvisaron kis is if there's yichud makum. And if you're not miyached lumakum, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a wallet with $1,000 in it. It's not going to be muktzamach masvisaron kis. So according to the Beis Meir, I want to raise a whole new question. The Beis Meir just told us a limitation to Muktzamach Masvisaron Kis. Muktzamach Masvisaron Kis will only be if there is Yichud Makom. It's not enough to be valuable. It's not enough to be delicate. It has to be valuable, delicate, and you don't move it from its specified place. Rabosai, what's the halacha of blank paper? Why am I asking you? Because the poskim talk about paper. The poskim say, let's jump.
What, does she have the muffin?
No.
Not valuable.
Let's look. Source number 12. Let's go straight to the halacha. Egros Moshe. Moshe Feinstein. And then we'll get back to why he says and where he's coming from. Egros Moshe. Orachayin chilek dal. Simon ayin beiz. Source number 12 on my sheet. Tzarech li zahar. If you have paper that is, writing paper, clean writing paper, you shouldn't put it. If you're going to be using a sefer, don't put it into your sefer. You're daf yomi gemara. You're just learning menachas, finishing on menachas. So you're not going to. Don't put a blank piece of paper to hold your place to know what daf you're on. Mishum dehechinan lichtov aleihem biurim b'sefer. I'm sorry. Yeah, mishum, because if you designate them as the papers that you're going to write your notes on them, dehechinan lichtov aleihem biurim b'sefer. D'shapir mikrei osam niros muktzah machmas k'saron kis. Those papers. How much is this paper worth?
Pennies.
Pennies. But you put it there to keep flat. Why do you put it inside? You can write your notes on it. You want to keep it neat and flat and clean. Vafilu bizman hazeh. Whoa, he obviously knows why he's saying those three words. Delo matzinu barda shema abi niyoros. Shiachutav
aleihem. Come in. That's not 21.
We don't, people don't just ruin paper. If you have a good piece of paper that you could write on, that you could use, that's usable, people don't just throw it out and treat it, you know, So that you might be right. If you're using it, you're designating it as a marker,
that's fine.
Then you've already designated as, it's no different than a paper clip, or no designated as, you turned it into a clip. You turned it into a clip. Here we're talking about something that he plans on writing on.
He put his paper as a marker.
He said he put it on paper to write notes.
Yeah.
He said, don't put it into your book if you plan on using it to write notes. And he said, he repeats himself. You want to situate it there so it doesn't get... I mean, I do this all the time. When I was in yeshiva, I had my Gemara shir. So I put pieces of paper inside my Gemara to keep the papers neat so that I would have a page to write my notes for shir. Nasa has saved buses of Davar Asr. He says the Ramosh is taking this. Not only is the paper Tzemach was concerned, case the whole book, the whole sefer might be turned into a buses. We're not going to get into that right now. Okay, let's just pause for a second. Rabosai, we just turned back. We just had a base mayor who told us an incredible chiddush in Hilchas Tzemach was concerned, case. The base mayor told us that it's only going to be Tzemach was concerned, case if you're miyachil humakom. So I ask you. Do you have a special place where you make sure you keep your writing paper?
What's writing? What's writing?
I mean
printing paper.
Paper that you're going to write your notes on. So I'm wondering, do we paskin like this, base mayor? The fact that Moshe says, I'm worried about a paper in my notebook, I mean, is that kol yichum? I specified, I put it in a very special place. I have a special place for my passport, right? Mark Gold has a special place for his passport right underneath his sock drawer.
It's there. I just wanted to know.
But paper for writing? Yes, I'm careful not to ruin it. Yes, I won't be ma'abed at midas. But I have a miyachilu makom. It could be. So we have a machlokas lemaisa. We had the Magen Avraham told us in source number 5 that if it's a valuable, delicate item, I don't need it to be in a specified place. The base mayor says, I do need it to be in a specified place. So how do we paskin? We have a machlokas.
We don't treat people like that. He did. So I had a place for the paper. We treat people like it's nothing now. We don't have a place. But if you really treat people like it was so important.
So Mr. Gold holds like the Sheva Talevi. Look in source number 13, right? Ramosha's was, Chu was written, let's say, 40 years ago, let's assume. The Sheva Talevi is about, 30 years later, let's assume. Look at source number 13. Mavur, Poskim, Reish Simon Reish Simon Shemches. Let's back up for a minute. I'm sorry, let's back up. Where's the source of this issue of paper being mukta? Look at the Magen Avraham in source number 10, please. Kozav harash, I wrote documents, passports, kozav harash, dimakbar al igeras, lotza al pitzluchi. So I mean you care about this document such that you would not use it to cover your bottle as a bottle cap. Also a tautalo, ayin simen shenches, that's our simen. So this rush tells us that if you have a document, normally documents, I might consider them muktzeh machmas gufa, they don't have inherent use. Now we're saying there's something different. If it's something that you see that it's valuable to you, and you wouldn't use it for other alternative uses, like to cover over whatever you need to cover over with a piece of paper, that will become muktzeh machmas visarnkis. So let's talk about the classic case is a passport. A passport is something that is delicate. Not delicate that it could get broken, but delicate you don't want it to, get torn or lost. It has value. Not just the $175 that it costs to go to the... that also is value, but it's also that when you have to go to a flight, you need it. You need it. So the Rush says that a passport, other documents, you have a marriage license, you have a license for your business, ksuva. Whatever, a ksuv...
Why is it any worse? It's worth money.
K- complicated, but let's assume, let's say a ksuva maybe also. Yeah, I hear that, maybe a ksuva also. You certainly specify a place for it, hopefully. So these things, these documents are mokse. Okay? Says the Magen Avraham. Now this is the exciting Magen Avraham. Kasa b'shulta giborim perches d'niyar chalak. Clean paper. Heavy mukta. Vinirli, continues the Magen Avraham in source 11. The heavy mukta machmas chisaron kis. The came into omi l'ksiva kapit alayhu. Now you would have argued that when did Rav Avraham Gambiner, the Magen Avraham, live? He lived in the early 1600s. So in the early 1600s, we could only imagine that paper was
expensive.
A rare commodity reserved for those, if not the wealthy, at least the middle or upper middle class. I could hear that in the 1600s, in the time of the Magen Avraham. Comes Rav Moshe that we just saw together and says that that applies even in the 1980s. That's where this is coming from.
He's
from this Magen Avraham. He's your Yerpeish.
That's true.
The Shevet HaLevi, it says, the Shevet HaLevi, in source number 13, Mevur B'Poz, again, the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vozner, who just died, who was just nifted a year ago or so. So it says the Shevet HaLevi, Mevur B'Poz, can Reish Simen Shin Ches, that's us, we're in the Reish Simen Shin Ches. Diniyar Chadash Chalak, you have new, clean paper. Heavenly Mokz Machos Chesar Kis, that's Magen Avraham we just learned together. And some one of my other truths I wrote to Bizman Hazeh, the Shkiach Nia Lavan Tuva, there's so much, there's an abundance of. You go to Staples and then you're going to see reams and reams and reams and thousands and tens of thousands of paper. And it's not so, and so cheap. You don't have to be so worried about this. Yeah, again, because you have to have big shoulders to argue on Magen Avraham. So he's hesitant, but at the same time, no, but I think you're correct. But I think the question is, if you have clean paper that you plan on writing, we don't just, you know, use it for whatever. You want a paper has to be clean, it has to be neat, it can't be bent, it can't be dirtied. Once it's dirtied, it's a lot. We lost it. As opposed to, if this gets scratched, nobody cares. If something else gets a scratch on a table, gets a scratch, or something, nobody cares. But if a paper gets marred or marked,
you have reams of paper. You give it to your kid to play with in a second. You wouldn't even think twice about it.
Yeah, I hear your arguments. That's Rav Moshe and the Shevet HaLevi. Those are the two sides of the argument. I want to finish off today with an interesting question, a thinking question. We just brought a discussion. If you have to be miyached makom in order to constitute Mukta Machmas Kisaron Kis.
Makom can be a case, like that mile. He puts in a certain case. He isn't messing with a case somewhere, but it sits in
always
a special
case.
Case.
I hear that. That right? Could be. That could be. So what I want to talk about is the following thinking question. Let's say you have something that is not delicate. It's a painting. I'm not talking about a Rembrandt. I'm talking about a painting that you have on your wall in your house. You bought it in Tzfat, you went to Tzfat, your wife loved it, you said, why spend $300 on a painting, $500 on a painting, when we could go out for dinner? And she says, why would you want to spend $500 on dinner when you could buy a painting? And okay, you're Mevater, and there's a painting hanging in your dining room. Okay? Do you move it? No. We talked about this last week. You don't move it. Why don't you move it? Not because it's expensive. You don't move it because...
It's its place.
Yeah. So is that Mokta Machmas Chisaron Kis? Meaning, you miyachid l'hu malkum, you designated a place. So, Rav Moshe Feinstein, look on the bottom of page 5. Moshe Feinstein shoots in the back of Rav Avner's Hilchos Mukta. Now turn the page to the top, page 6. Was asked about a painting. Tmuna Sha'al Hakir. Says the Tshuva, says Rav Moshe, lo b'inan yichud makom. I'm sorry, the question was, look at the second one. Second Shayla. Top of page 6. Shayla Yud Gimel, if you see the Yud Gimel on the side. Sha'on Kir, a wall clock, like we have here. Probably costs $30, not so expensive. V'chein Tmunos Al Hakir, Sh'yichil Hamokom Ba'okfen Kavo. You have a set place for these wall pictures. Hayim Hevele Mokza. Right? You Miyachil Hamokom. Tshuva, Hinei Sha'on, O Tmunos Shekavel Hamokom Bakir, Eina Mokza B'shvil Zeh. That doesn't make them moksa. This Reb Moshe is famous. You know why? Because go back to the previous tshuva and you'll see what he says. The question was, does something, in order to become muktzah machlas chisaron kis, does it have to have yichud makom? Does it have to have a designated place? Says Reb Moshe in the previous tshuva, lo be'inon yichud makom, you don't have to have a set place. V'had mu b'gemara, that was the Gemara said explicitly that this is muktzah machlas chisaron kis because it has a yichud makom, because it has a designated place. Look at the Reb Moshe's words, magical words. Zehavi rach begeder siman. It's a siman that it's valuable. It's not a siba to make it muktzah. Set place, designated place, is an indication shemakbir al hachefetz. Period. Exactly. Just because something has a set place, that doesn't make it muktzah machlas chisaron kis. That doesn't make it valuable and delicate. Usually, something that you keep in a set place, like my passport, like my shechita knife, like my mila knife, that usually indicates that it's muktzah machlas chisaron kis. But if you have, but it's not the fact that you designate a makom that makes it muktzah machlas chisaron kis. Okay, so the doctor likes Reb Moshe. V'chein lehevech. But now let's look at the next line. V'chein lehevech. Ein yichud makom luchudei hagorim sheyachashim muktzah. Fine. He says a great svar. He says, let's say you have your cleaning lady always keeps the shmatas in the exact same place, so that she always knows where to get the shmatas. She hangs it on that U. You know that underneath the sink? Open up the drawer. Open up the trap. Open up the cabinet underneath your sink. There's the trap for the pipe, that elbow, whatever you want to call it. Thank you, Mr. Plumber. And you have the rag, the smatu timra, hanging there. She always keeps it there. Oh, she's miyachid little makom. And now these rags are going to be muktzah machlas chisaron kis. Says her Moshe, of course not. How could you say with your right mind that yichud makom, designated place, is going to define something as muktzah machlas chisaron kis? It's just a siman that typically things that you set in a certain place are often, that's often an indication of muktzah machlas chisaron kis.
What's the bottom line now? We have to roll this mess.
So the bottom line is, Reb Moshe says that a wall picture, a wall hanging, is not going to be muktzah machlas chisaron kis.
What is?
What is something that is that you specify a place for its delicateness and its value? And I want to finish with this. The question that I asked you 5 minutes ago, this is the thinking question. You remember we spoke about the wallet where you don't have yichud makom, but it is valuable? Listen carefully. Reb Moshe just told me that if you have something that's not valuable, a wall hanging, it's not valuable. So it's not going to be muktzah machlas chisaron kis because you're miyachid l'chud makom. Does that shed any light on the question of if I have something that is valuable, but I'm not miyachid l'chud makom? Let me say that again. Reb Moshe says that all I care, that I care about is value. And therefore, even if it's just because something is hanging on the wall, it doesn't make it muktzah machlas chisaron kis. If it's not valuable, it's not valuable. But does that shed any light on our question that we had before the Machlokas Magen Avraham Beis Meir? We had a question. If you have something that is valuable, an iPhone 10, but you leave it all over the place. You have what the Beis Meir talked about, this wallet, the Shulchan Aruch talked about, this wallet. That's a valuable wallet, but you move it all over the place. You're not miyachid l'chud makom. Does Reb Moshe, who says that yichud makom is only a siman, not a siba, it's only an indication that something's muktzah machlas chisaron kis, it's not the reason, is that going to inform our question, our previous machlokas? If you have something that is valuable but doesn't have a set place? It's a thinking question.
If yichud makom is a siman for chisaron kis, then chisaron kis is certainly a siman for chisaron kis. No?
I hear what you're saying. Okay, I think I'm not to teal. We'll finish with this. My impression is that something is determined by muktzah machlas chisaron kis, regardless of whether it has a specified place or not. It seems that we might not pass like this Beis Meir, that you have to have a set place for it. Even if there's no set place, the sign that you're not going to be using, because of its delicateness, that's going to be muktzah machlas chisaron kis. And coming back to our shaila that we started with, the shaila about the coats, we have to find out if The fact that a woman will try it on Shabbos, the fact that she intended to use it on Shabbos, presumably we're suggesting that should make it that she has das to use it on Shabbos, and how could that become mutmas? So that would be my netiyas das. Before I do further research, I would assume that that case should be mutter. She intended to use it for Shabbos, it has to be mutter to use on Shabbos. That would be my hashras das.
You have been listening to a presentation of benstorah.com.